Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
The truth is funny. With Colette Steffen, we'll have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success. Many people who shift out of limiting beliefs roar with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The truth is funny. Shift happens. Feel instant relief. Stay tuned for more fun and release struggle and suffering. And now, here's your host, Colette Steffen.
Today, your guest host, Karen Benton, is here. Karen is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. Joyful, abundant, and bursting with energy. Here is your guest host, Karen Benton.
Hello, and welcome to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. This is Karen Benton, and I am so honored to be a regular host on Colette's show every third Wednesday of the month. Please stay tuned for the next hour. We're going to be exploring cutting-edge stories, science, information, and experiences to assist you in igniting the capacity within you to resolve life's conflicts and challenges. This shift happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, live on the airwaves. Podcasts are available for every show at thetruthisfunny.com, at transformationtalkradio.com, and for the shows that I host every third Wednesday of the month, you can find these podcasts at karenbetton.com. The work we explore in these shows is intended to enliven each listener, within each listener, their own capacity to create and experience transformation. Repeated listening to the podcast has been reported over and over again to be a powerful gateway to change. Together, we can transform life's conflicts and challenges into possibilities and potentials with ease and fun. Who knew, right? So I am so thrilled with the guest that I have been honored to get a yes from when I asked her to be on the show again. There is a recording of a podcast that we did earlier in the year, actually, I think it was last year, where we were talking about, you know, 20th century discoveries in quantum physics that explain all of consciousness and its fundamental nature to matter and the baseline of all that we are. Today, we are truly and truly honored to have Dr. Mangeer Samantha Lawton, who is a former medical GP turned international speaker and author of Punk Science and the Genius Groove. As an expert in the science of spirituality, she has lectured around the world, been interviewed by various media, including the BBC and the UK's Channel 4, in addition to the host and producer of the TV show Hidden Science. She is the creator of various online courses and hosts the monthly online meetup, the Conscious Science Club, which I happen to be a part of. The Punk Science movie is currently in post-production. Thank you so much for being a guest. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mangeer. Is that okay to call you that, Dr. Mangeer?
Oh, Mangeer, that's fine. Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here. Thank you for your support as well.
Your work really continues to inspire me. And, you know, what I was sort of writing on the social media today was this realization of where I come from as someone who believed they weren't very good at science and science was for the experts, and how, you know, coming to your keynote lectures at the Body Talk conference years ago in Malta, that really shifted and changed when I spent those 2 days with you and really realized how important science is to the everyday functioning of every human being. And being a medical practitioner, you know, I would read PubMed when I needed to, but I didn't again think science was important. And you really woke that up to me as, you know, what goes on out there is such a reflection of what's going on in us, as well as what's going on in us is such a reflection of what's going on out there. So thank you for all that you do. Such a gift to this world and an invitation for all of us to really look outside what we've been conditioned to understand is our limited potential in this life. And, you know, I feel like I don't even need to talk in this show. There is so much that you have to share. So what I want to know is, where have you been? What have you been up to? And what is this exciting things that we get to talk about today that could go beyond all the amazing things we talked about last time?
Well, I'm feeling a bit like this is a historic moment, and I can't think of a better person to actually be on the show with today. Thank you for your support, and you know, that really means a lot to me, because you know, it is pioneering stuff that people might think is crazy and the rest of it. So, you know, taking the exploration of reality forward, and that affects everything from, you know, the way that we live our lives in an inner sense and an outer sense as well. So, yeah, the stars have aligned, as it were, and we're hopefully going to explore some really cutting edge stuff today for the first time, do some big announcements.
I can't even imagine. And I don't even know what question to first ask you, but I feel like as the founder and developer of this black hole principle, you know, dare I even ask the question of how would you describe what it is?
Yeah, that's a good question to start off with, because how does a medical doctor get to talking about black holes? But, you know, I've always been fascinated by science and cosmology. And, you know, I entered medical school and had this massive kundalini awakening, like a spiritual awakening. And that just changed my whole outlook and everything. And then suddenly this interest that I had went into, well, hang on a minute, some of the stuff that's going on in spirituality, like going beyond the speed of light with your consciousness and everything like that, it had some analogies with what was going on in cosmology, like VSL, which was variable speed of light theory, that was really popular at the time that I was in medical school. And, you know, so it's that sort of parallel. And obviously a lot of people have talked about quantum physics and how the nature of reality is not solid like we've always thought. And quantum theory is talking about how our unconsciousness interacts with reality and actually, you know, pinpoints the what seemingly solid reality around us. So all of these things were coming out at the time, but this fascination with black holes and cosmology was just growing in me. And, you know, you got to imagine, you know what it's like in working in hospitals. So, you know, here I was with my white coat in an emergency department, and every second that I had, I'd be pulling out, you know, the latest, you know, cosmology articles and things like that. So, it's been this growing thing. And through a whole series of events in my life, I ended up with the time to contemplate. And if you really want to know about what those events are, read The Genius Group, because I explain it all and how I got into my genius groove, as it were, and into my creative path. And it was a moment in 2003 when I was just out walking in the woods, and I suddenly had this huge download about the universe, about the way that the universe works, and about these fascinating things called black holes. And as probably a lot of people know, black holes are supposedly these great scary monsters that are gobbling everything around them. That's what we're told anyway. But a lot of the actual observations didn't fit this. And we see a lot of material coming out of black holes, even in the black hole picture that was taken earlier this year, and all the headlines went around the world. Excuse me. If you actually look at what was happening as they were approaching the black hole, you see loads of streaming particles coming out of the black hole. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I did, actually. Yeah, but I never know what I'm looking at, though.
Well, I think that's a good point, because what they were doing in that announcement was manipulating the image to make it look like people expect it to look. And that took quite a lot of, careful manipulation to make sure they didn't get a center of a galaxy that looked like it was emitting material. But we know that the centers of galaxies emit lots of material. And what I realize is that the reason why it looks like it's emitting material is not because things are going down the plug hole and they get heated up and they, you know, spit things out. Because if that was true, then it would be a very different pattern to the way that we see. What we see is that there are two fine concentrated jets that come out of black holes. It's not like things sort of falling down the plug hole kind of thing. So what I realized is that black holes are actually creative forces in the universe. And what happens is there's tons of the universe that we don't see. It's all beyond what we currently call the speed of light. That's not the speed of limit of the universe. It's actually the limitation of our regular reality. And the light spirals from these higher levels of the universe into our reality. And when the light gets to the edge of our reality, it splits into like a particle of matter and a particle of antimatter. And that's what we see coming out of black holes. And then it goes the other way as well. The two combine as well. The antimatter and the matter combine, and they form a burst of light called a gamma ray burst. And so that is what I realize is happening at the edge of a black hole. And that's what fits the observation. And so that's what I call the black hole principle. And it actually, there's evidence that this sort of pattern happens at every level of the universe. So in a nutshell, that's the black hole principle.
So when you say it happens at every level of the universe, are you saying that that happens in our bodies too?
That's what I think is going on in the traditional concept that we would call the chakras.
Yeah.
And you have the spiral of light in other dimensions that creates the body. That's a traditional view of chakras. It's sort of derided as something that is sort of new age, but it also happens in atoms too. You can see the electron jumping from level to level, so that it is a principle. It goes throughout reality.
Oh my goodness, this is so exciting. So we're going to come back and continue this. Believe it or not, it always goes so fast. It's time to take a break right here. So we are on The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. And we will be right back to continue this amazing conversation and to get more into how this also applies to our everyday life. And I'm also going to even ask the question of, what exactly are the other dimensions? Is that is that just what we don't sense with our senses, and get a little bit more clear on how this impacts our lives and how we can relate to it for those of us that don't have all of this amazing language. And so that you too can partake in this creation potential in your own thought processes and in your own body. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Laura Meeks, and the most common problem that my clients face is all work and no play. This is why I created Fly High Living. I help you develop a balanced life plan and guide you to a place where you love to wake up in the morning.
Call 888-666-1570 or go to flyhighliving.com to sign up for the 4-week Flight Plan for Life course.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on The Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at tracylclark.com.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
We are back on The Truth is Funny, and I am Karen Benton, and a regular host for this show every third Wednesday of the month. My guest today is Dr. Manjeer Samantha Lawton. And before we continue, could you share your contact information, Dr. Manjeer?
Yeah, sure. Probably the easiest way is to go through my website. So if you go to either punkscience.com, if that's easier for you to remember, or paradigmrevolution.com. Either one will get you to my website. So punkscience.com, there's a contact form on there and details of various things that I'm doing.
Yeah, great. And I still love that name, Punk Science, right? This idea that there's actually science that is radical in the sense that it goes against what maybe academia has been telling us, which is not to say that, you know, anyone was ever set out to lead people in the wrong direction, but we get new information, and with the new information and new experiences, we get to ask questions, right? Isn't that the beauty of science? Which is, it sounds like it's exactly what you did. You had your own experience and you got curious.
I think in science, people outside of science think it's very objective and that people are just interested in the truth. But, you know, scientists are human beings and get caught up in all the hierarchies and everything that goes with the human experience. So and the dogmas. So if something is enshrined as a, people in science talk about heresies and dogmas and things like that. So, for example, the guy that came out with things can go faster than the speed of light got called a heretic. Yeah. So this is something we normally associate with religious dogma. So it has its own drawbacks as well. You know, someone who's clever enough, got a high enough position as a professor, publishes something, it's very hard to go against it. So it's a very human field.
And you have come out with amazing understandings, principles, expansion. And would you say you have been received with warm, open arms and acceptance of the possibility that what we have believed to this point may not actually be true?
Well, definitely in some circles. I've been so blessed to have been able to speak around the world, even in scientific conferences, and certain professors sort of going, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. And it's good to be able to hold up against, you know, talking with astrophysicists and people like that. But some kind of, they don't like the fact that someone who's an outsider to the physics world is coming and saying anything. And
stuff from like high school still exists even in the science world.
Yeah, absolutely.
On some level. So we so much appreciate your courage to keep going.
I think people just resonate with the truth when they hear it. And that's the main thing. It's like I set out to reach the people first, and because I knew that the establishment would not accept this, that's why it's punk, you know. So, and around the world, doesn't matter what language or anything, people just get that this is truth, and that black holes are creative. They just feel it.
And on the break, we were kind of, I was sort of saying that, you know, sometimes we can all get down in this idea of, I think people term it scarcity consciousness, you know, that we're running out of water, we're running out of oil, we're running out of, you know, we don't have enough time, that there's this urgency that, you know, we're being depleted. And so even hearing you speak of this idea of black holes that are the galaxies and the universes and possibly even in our own human body is something that is constantly creating.
Yes. Yeah. And it's infinite source.
Isn't that amazing? You know, that it's there to me, even just being a medical practitioner, that is so opposite of the paradigm that I was operating in myself. Whether everyone's there, I can't comment on that, but you know, scarcity consciousness of believing that my body wasn't capable of creating. And better yet, that the earth is actually creating and constantly in that mode. So what else are black holes creating?
This is where the really big shifts are happening. It's not just about the particles of matter and antimatter and the gamma ray bursts. This pattern is going all the way down. And the Earth is actually a good example of where we can see this black hole principle behavior. One of the ones that the examples where we can see this is a very common one, thunderstorms. And, you know, in the era of the satellite, we started to realize that these thunderstorms just above our heads that we've been seeing with all these flashes of lightning and everything are emitting gamma ray bursts, just like the gamma ray bursts that we see out in space. And so, you know, back in 2006, when I published Punk Science, I said that thunderstorms have, they have the matter associated with them. Remember I said the black hole principle produces matter, antimatter and gamma ray bursts. So you've got the matter associated with them, the lightning strike, that's a fast moving electrons that are coming almost at the speed of light out of the black hole. Because the reason why they're coming almost at the speed of light is that they have just slowed down from being beyond the speed of light, and we measure them as almost being, so that's coming out of the mini black holes we have above our heads that we call thunderstorms. And then you have the gamma ray burst, which was spotted by our equipment as we went, you know, started to look with satellites at thunderstorms. And then in 2010, a good few years after I published the book Punk Science and the predictions about thunderstorms, NASA actually found antimatter coming out of thunderstorms. So that was one big prediction. And that also, that whole triangle has also been found in hurricanes too. So that's just last year. So we found gamma ray bursts in hurricanes, found antimatter, and of course we've known for a long time there's been lightning. So when we look at all these systems, volcanoes, all these systems around Earth that we can't really explain very well, we're finding this same pattern everywhere. But you probably know about volcano lightning. So there's this amazing thing that's happening now. And one thing that I have left out of the thunderstorms, of course, when we have thunderstorms, a lot of the time we get rain. So one of the things that I know people will thought I'd go completely crazy is if I started to say that rain comes out of black holes, but that's the only way that it's out, that water actually comes out of black holes and is part of the black hole principle, because that would make sense. Every time we have most of the time when we have thunderstorms, we have rain, we have water accompanying it. Well, you know, I wasn't sure whether or not to say this, but anyway, that was my prediction, that water comes out of black holes. And guess what? We are now finding water all over space. We're finding it. The largest body of water ever in to be found is in deepest space. We're finding it coming out of, even in the middle of the craters on the moon, because there are many black holes too. You know, this black hole principle is going all the way down. We now can solve the reason why the Earth has oceans in the first place. Because this has been a mystery for a long time. Does it come on an asteroid? How did the Earth have so much water? Well, it's been produced by the central sort of black hole dynamo of the Earth, which we already know produces antimatter, we know that it produces these eruptions all the time, these intermittent eruptions. So it's the same sort of principle. So that's where all the water of the planet comes from. And I made this prediction publicly in 2013, and then guess what? A few months later, they found a large body of water deep within the Earth. So that's what's so water as well comes out of black holes. Isn't that amazing? And that's why we see it all over space. We're seeing it on Enceladus. You know, when they flew by Enceladus, one of Saturn's moons, they weren't expecting to see all these eruptions of water, and suddenly you get all this coming off. So that was the first big revelation, the second big revelation, that water comes out of black holes. It comes out of every single level, from the macro to the micro, even our cells. This could be
when we cry, is that like a similar,
yes,
injection, a release, a creation, even?
Yes, yeah, because I mean, we cry at extremes. We cry both when we're laughing and we cry both when we're sad. And I think it's those polarities, you know, this matter and antimatter polarity coming together. Maybe that's got something to do with the reason why we produce water, both at the cosmic level and within ourselves as well. So some of the mechanisms have to be worked out, but I've stood in a conference full of professors at a water conference and talked about this, and it was received really well with a lot of some aha moments amongst the scientists themselves, which is amazing.
So it sounds sort of simple, but could we possibly actually be creating when we're crying, right? It's framed often in our world in the negative light, you know, crying, but perhaps it's a creation experience.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, creating from each of ourselves as well. So that's the sort of metabolic water that I know we've both been through medical school and everything, and we know that there are, you know, all these cycles that we've discovered in the cell, but you know, at a deep fundamental level beyond those cycles, could water be produced in this way? So, but certainly out in space, we're seeing that, and we're seeing the same sort of patterns all the way down. Water even coming out of sunspots, water even being ejected like bullets out of stars. These are things that have all been found, not by me, but by astrophysicists, and they don't really know why. Why is this happening? Why are we finding water on Mars that's being replenished? Well, because Mars itself is producing that water, and it's producing it because the center of Mars is a black hole dynamo that produces the matter, antimatter, and it doesn't just stop there. We also find, what else do we find? We find loads of things like hydrocarbons out in space. And the big announcement that's making today with you is that I actually think that what we call fossil fuels are not fossil fuels at all. And there's quite a lot of work that's been done over the years on this. I think that the black hole principle might actually be responsible for what we call fossil fuels. And that sounds so outrageous. But
well, let's review real quickly, just for those of us that have forgotten, what is the current belief about fossil fuels, right? That it's the breakdown, you describe it, that creates petroleum and oil.
Well, this is a world that I never thought I'd get involved with. So it's all sort of interesting to me. The way I was taught in school is that, like, for example, coal is produced by trees that sort of lived many, many years ago. And then when they die, they form these swampy masses. And then that gets compressed over time into coal. And that a similar process happens with marine creatures over time, and that produces oil. So there are issues with this that, you know, have been highlighted by Russian scientists, and also the physicist Thomas Gold has written about this. And some of them, like, why is oil and coal often found together? Why is helium often found alongside oil, which is not a biological molecule? It doesn't go with biological processes. So I started to wonder whether or not oil and coal could really come from the central black hole of the planet. And it sounds outrageous. But what's happening now is that we are finding oil wells and coal all over space. Now, if it really came from trees and marine animals, this shouldn't be happening, because A, we don't see any signs of life on these planets. Maybe life happened many billions of years ago and we're seeing the remnants of it. But we're also seeing oil wells just in the Horsehead Nebula. There's a massive oil well. On Titan, there are massive oil wells. On Mars, we found kerogen, which is like a form of kind of precursor to crude oil. And just recently, just in the last few weeks, they found intermittent bursts of methane. So they don't understand why there are these bursts. Well, we know from the black hole principle that we expect there to be intermittent bursts as, you know, as it goes one way and goes the other. So it's kind of like a breathing effect in the black hole principle. You end up with getting the matter and antimatter coming together, and then going the other way, it produces the gamma ray burst. It's constantly cycling from one side to another. And so what you have in Mars is these intermittent ejections of methane. So, you know, coal coming out of stars. I mean, it's just incredible. But these are really what scientists are finding.
And they just weren't able to measure it before? Like, why are they finding it now? Like, it was just, or was it because they didn't look for it before?
Well, interestingly, the hydrocarbons in space have been found for many years. I think since the 1940s, I think they've been seeing it. So I don't know why not more is made out of it, because we call it organic chemistry, right? Which means it comes from an organism. But it seems to be a bit of a misnomer, because we're finding, when we talk about organic chemistry, we're just talking about molecules that have carbon and hydrogen together. That's what we mean by sort of organic chemistry. And we usually associate this with life. But interestingly, these organic chemicals are all over space. And so nobody's really given a massively convincing explanation. But now we're finding what is supposedly fossil fuels all over space. And that's incredible. I mean, they actually, something very similar to coal actually covers comets. So what I'm saying is it's the black hole principle itself that is producing the fossil fuels. And that's why the oil wells on this planet keep replenishing. They're not running out. They keep replenishing. Yeah. I'm not saying this from a political perspective. I'm saying this from a scientific perspective, just to get to the truth of what's happening.
Well, yeah, and oil drives so many political, you know, drives and national searches, and this idea that it may not actually be running out and it may be available surely puts a hole in hello
hi.
Oh, yeah, hi. And how would you apply this to the idea of climate change?
Lots of different ways, because what I keep saying is, how can you understand climate change when you don't understand climate? So if I'm saying that, if I predicted that you would find gamma ray bursts and hurricanes, which is something unexpected by mainstream scientists, it's just going to show, we just found gamma ray bursts and hurricanes last May. So basically, if you don't understand climate or weather, climate, how can you understand climate change? Now, I'm not saying that climate change isn't happening. I'm not a climate change denier. Quite the contrary. I think there are a lot of fluctuations in the black hole principle, not just the central one, but the mini ones that are all over the Earth. And these are constantly fluctuating, creating increased eruptions. The eruptions often go in a sort of bipolar jet, which is what we see around the black holes in space as well. So you've seen these constant eruptions, you've seen this, all these changes, but it doesn't have to be just about how much carbon we're putting into the atmosphere. We put a lot of carbon dioxide, a lot of methane comes out of volcanoes, for example. So all of these things are coming together to give us a more complete view of climate change. So it's not just about pollutants. It's about what we would call pollutants. It's about the methane that's coming out of volcanoes. The carbon dioxide that's coming about volcanoes, also the weather systems. If we understand that the same mechanism that is driving black holes at the center of galaxies is driving a hurricane, is driving a thunderstorm, is driving a volcano, is creating the water on the planet, that is a more full explanation of our planet as a whole. And I think we've got to stop talking about planetary weather when we talk about just the Earth, but interplanetary weather, to actually have a unified theory of planetary weather, to understand that the same weather systems are going on in Mars, that they are on Jupiter, that they are on Earth, just at different levels. That's all it is. So once we understand climate full stop, planetary climate, or even the sun's climate, we can talk in those terms as well. And like you're saying at the beginning, Karen, people are very afraid and feel a lot of fear and scarcity. And, I've noticed around the world that when I stop talking like this, people feel a sense of abundance, that they're on the edge of something new. And science for a while has said that everything has been discovered. We can't discover anything else. Well, we're on the, whenever that happens, we go into something new. So people get a sense of being at the edge of a new frontier. And
it is funny, like, even that thought that I know everything I need to know, is one that, even in the idea that you take a course once and you get everything out of it, and that the changes that ensue over you from a course don't require you to then go take it again because you'll receive it differently. This idea of that everything and everyone is always changing. And then more of what I'm hearing from you beyond that is, I think medicine, I always sort of looked at the individual, right? And then we went looked even smaller to the specialist, of the cardiologist and the nephrologist, and we look at everything in a singular nature. And, just what you're saying with climate change, this idea of we can't be looking at the Earth as a singular source as to what happens to us. We can't be looking at our body or an individual organ as a singular source for cause of what's happening. And it's realizing that we're all connected to everything. So all of this incredible information that you are offering us, some people may say, oh, that's too many, that's information I don't know, but it's so, so important for us to understand how we're not separate.
Yeah, it's about getting that unity, that, what physicists call the unified field, there's something that is a deeper reality that's uniting all of us. And both the physicists and the mystics talk about this all the time. It's where the mystical and the science comes together. But the more that we can, at the moment, looking at you know, astrophysics, which we've been talking about today, you know, it happens again in astrophysics. They go, well, that's how Jupiter behaves, or that's how Saturn behaves, and it's all disconnected, like we see in medicine as well. Well, that's your lung, and go to another specialist for the heart. That's all the reductionist approach. Once you realize it's the same pattern going throughout all of reality, that, you know, even our emotional worlds can work in the same way. You know, John DeMartini talked about the matter and the antimatter collapsing into light when you get emotional resolution. And I think he, you know, he's absolutely right. That effectively is a black hole principle going throughout your own life. So when you get that aha moment and you have that thing that's bothering you, you know, you see that someone's really bothering you. That's the opposite polarity. That's the antimatter that you is bothering you for a while. And then suddenly you get that moment where you go, well, if that hadn't happened, or that's a mirror of me, or, you know, you get that aha moment. In that moment, that situation collapses into light. And just like in a black hole, you bring the two together and you end up in that in that sort of unity consciousness for a while, and then you get the next lesson. So, you know, it's a connecting of everything at all throughout reality. And I think this is a way to go forward. Instead of seeing everything as separate, you know, whether it be the body or our planets, you know, to find that unity, find that underlying mechanism that unites everything.
So beautiful. So we're going to sit with that while we go to another commercial break and just sort of allow that, the marination of this idea of creation happening all the time within our own body, within, you know, our own community, our own world, our own planet. And it's, you just can't separate it from everything that's happening far, far beyond that. Like you said, all the planets, all of the, boy, I should stop, but all of that, it really hits you in a way that is hard to describe, the ease that arises when you think of our connection to everything. So we will be right back. I am Karen Benton, and you are listening to The Truth is Funny. And we were talking with Dr. Mangere Samantha Lawton about black holes and the latest revelations about this principle and how we can apply it to many of the current themes in life, from health and wellness to climate change to water to thunderstorms to everything. Please call in if you feel drawn to share or ask any questions or look for insight. 1-800-930-2819, and we'll be right back.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good, and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Our angels and animals are always working for and around us. Darcy Pariso knew from an early age she felt this incredible presence that was confirmed for her in a Reiki Level 1 course. From then on, she has honed her skills and dedicated her talents to providing answers, inspiration, and tools for people to move past limiting blocks and past traumas to truly live a life of happiness. For more information about working with Darcy, visit darcypariso.com.
If you have been struggling with fear and anxiety, you know how debilitating these emotions can be. You constantly doubt yourself. You can't make decisions. and feel more and more insecure and stuck. Dr. Friedman Schaub's book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, will provide you with the insights and tools to break through these challenges. Through a step-by-step process, Dr. Schaub explains how to resolve the subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety and build a strong foundation of inner peace and confidence. Visit www.thefearandanxietysolution.com and get your copy now.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedman Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
So we are back, and this is Karen Benton, and I am the host on the Truth is Funny radio show every third Wednesday of the month. I have here with me Dr. Mangere Samantha Lawton, and we have been speaking about all sorts of exciting science, particularly her revolutionary black hole principle and how it applies to many of the different aspects of our life, from climate change to our concepts about where water comes from on the earth in a human, oil, where oil potentially may be now seen to come from. And it's interesting, I was saying to Dr. Mangere on the break, I feel this incredible sense of connection talking in this manner and hearing about what's going on in myself and in the earth and in all the other planets and in the galaxies at large. And I think as a human race at this time and stage, many of us are suffering from this feeling of disconnection. And so mind-blowing to me that these concepts of science are creating this deep sense of connection in me, that I feel the sense of ease in my whole body. So yay. And I hope the community is feeling the same. So yeah, your new articles, and you recently published one that's was just put up on Facebook, mentions this idea of raining diamonds in space. It sounds like a new pop song. You know, someone's going to have to write one about that. Would you elaborate? And that's one of the cool things. Her punk science book, she brings in lots of, or is it The Genius Groove? Is that the one where you start each chapter with a song?
No, both of those. One of them was punk and the other one was cheesy 80s.
I resonate with the cheesy 80s. So maybe that's what Prince was actually saying. I don't know.
Yeah. Diamond rain. Yes. Fantastic. So if anybody wants to see this article that has just gone live, so it's coinciding with this interview, is Dr. as in D-R. M-A-N-J-I-R, drmangere.com. So the Dr. Mangere is all one word, /fossil, F-O-S-S-I-L. So if you want to see that article, you can see that, or just go to my website and look at the latest blog. So, yeah.
It's also on Facebook, on your punk science site.
Yeah, and the punk science, yes, and I will be talking a lot more about these sorts of concepts in a Facebook, on future Facebook Lives that I'm going to start doing now the article's out. So what we were saying about, we were talking about Diamond Rain. Thomas Gold is the physicist who wrote the book The Deep Hot Biosphere, where he talked a lot about how fossil fuels can't be produced by just biological processes. There must be some sort of chemical process that's going on in deep in the earth, because of all the evidence that's there. And he certainly wasn't the first person to say this. But one of the things in his book that I noticed was that he was talking about diamonds being in very, very deep, narrow shafts. Not all the time, but that they sometimes appeared in very deep, narrow shafts that actually are so deep that nobody knows exactly how deep they are. And with this concept that, you know, black holes have these thin bipolar jets that come out of them, suddenly I started thinking, could these shafts that have these diamonds in, could they possibly be sort of bipolar jets where carbon has been emitted very under a lot of pressure, causing from the black hole itself in the earth, causing the carbon to actually compress and become diamonds? And I thought, in order for me to be right, there have to be diamonds in space. So because if this is a universal process, there'll be diamonds in space. So I went and looked it up, and sure enough, there are loads of diamonds in space. There are it rains diamonds on Neptune.
I love that image. I'm just saying, that's a beautiful image.
I think most women would love that.
I feel connected too.
Absolutely. So if you love your sparkle, it's Neptune's the place to go. So Neptune, apparently Saturn, and you also find it micro diamonds that have been found coming out of stars. There's even a star that they found where the entire core is diamond. So what we're seeing is the same pattern expressed at different levels of the universe, and that sometimes produces diamond in the way of sort of diamond rain and things like that. So I mean this is just such a fascinating avenue to go down, and you know, so I'm not saying any of this is complete. The more that we start to bring through about this, we're gonna start new questions. How do the diamonds actually get formed, etc. What I'm saying is the same mechanism all throughout the universe that's creating diamonds on these different planets, on our planet, in the stars. It's just at different levels.
And you know, again, back to the beginning of the excitement of getting curious and asking questions. I think so many of us in this intellectual age are just looking for someone to give us answers. And this idea of all of this that just, you know, puts this life force energy of aliveness through my body, mind, all stems from you, you know, being willing to ask the questions and get curious, which is, you know, the greatest gift all of us can give to the evolution of humanity and the world at large. So my question is then, where do we go from here? Diamonds in space, fossil fuels out of black holes, water out of black holes, connected to everything, beyond time and space. We can reach it. We can utilize, you know, what's beyond time and space. Tell me.
Absolutely. That's a really good question. Well, first of all, I think that's a good point you brought up, you know, because the mystics have said for ages that there is a different reality that's creating what we call physical reality. And from what I'm talking about, that's exactly the same thing. What I'm actually saying, though, has been focusing on is what happens below the speed of light, you know, from what happens above the speed of light. So I'm focusing on what we can actually measure. So if you go out and have a look and, you know, see or look up everything that I'm talking about for yourself, the diamonds in space, the methane eruptions on Mars, you know, the water everywhere, please go look that up for yourself. This is astrophysics in motion at the moment. So I think we can move forward and have a unified theory of the universe, you know, why all these things are happening. They're not disparate events. So that's one thing. And then the rest, I don't know. I mean, for some people, it'll be a better understanding of climate change. you know, as I said, if you don't understand climate, you can't understand climate change. So we can move towards a better understanding of climate change, why we're seeing shifts happening on our planet. I think it's really the central black hole that is causing more eruptions, more hurricanes. You know, we've got to look at that level, at a very deep level of reality, to why things are shifting. So climate change is one. Fuel, I don't know. I mean, I'm not advocating for a second saying, you know, oil is replenishing itself all the time for the central black hole of the earth. Let's just carry on burning it. That's not for me to say, you know. But I mean, it could be that it'll enable space exploration, because we know now that we are going to find oil and water on different planets. So if we can find a way of utilizing that, now that we can predict that, we can maybe do more space exploration. So there are myriads of different ways, and as I said, personally for ourselves as well, to understand that we are consciously creating beings at every single moment from infinity, you know, and we're infinitely connected to everything. It's all the same process. That gives the beautiful feeling in these times of disconnection, like you're saying.
So it kind of, it does, it's sort of that idea, like, oh, why are we studying space when we don't even understand what's going on with us? But there, you can't separate it, right? We're
exactly. I mean, you know, I spoke to a 15-year-old recently who said, when I said that lightning isn't caused by static electricity, there's not enough charge buildup, he looked absolutely horrified, like he'd been lied to, and he had. You know, We don't even know the basics about our planet. So we need to move forward in a way that, you know, brings all this together and unifies.
And be more forefront what we don't know, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and so this idea of knowing and possibly seeing it as a limitation. Oh my goodness. So it is such a pleasure to connect with all of you and out there in the audience. A big thank you to Dr. Mangiera. Oh my goodness. Such a joy to be on the show. Thank you to Carter, and Colette will be back next week. Any final words as we sign off, Dr. Mangiera?
Oh, thank you so much. Go to punkscience.com and drmangier.com/CSE to join the Conscious Science Club today as well. Yes. And get more of this stuff.
Yes, the Conscious Science Club. And there'll be information on my website where we'll have this podcast as well, so you can listen to it over and over again to get more out of it. See you next week with Colette at 8 a.m. and I'll be back in a month. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan. Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmos. Joke. The truth is funny. Visit thetruthisfunny.com for more information. That's thetruthisfunny.com.